we all know him? Yes, we do. The verse that part of the verse we're going to be looking at is, for the mystery of godliness is already at work. Now this is in Thessalonians, so it's during the disciples' times. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the Lord's one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now this seems strange, because we know that this now, just reading this, is talking about the end of time. It's talking about when we have the one world church, and that church is misrepresented. You remember that the word Antichrist does not mean against Christ. It means in place of. So we're going to have the Antichrist there. We know that's what it's talking about. But it says, this is what the apostle is saying, for the mystery of godliness is already at work. So the papacy was in fact not even really started at that time. So it's a little difficult to be able to align this verse with that idea of the Antichrist. So we go to 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restrained, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now is restrained will do so until he's taken out of the way. So, this is a bit of a strange verse. It is referring to the Antichrist in the last days, which it is. In the early church, the gospel spread like wildfire. Mm-hmm. And it spread to Europe, Samaria, Ethiopia, Syria, Asia Minor, Greece, Italy, India, all over the world that they then knew. And it went so that there were millions of Christians very, very quickly. Now, Jerusalem was the original centre of the Christian religion at this time. And we've already just seen, a few minutes ago, that in AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed. So they had to find a new headquarters. So the leadership moved the headquarters to Antioch. And that is where they first used the name Christian. But there was other centres, and a rival for Antioch was Alexandria in Egypt. And although it appeared to be a Christian leadership in Alexandria, it rejected a lot of the Old Testament, it denied creation, and it held in contempt all Jews, even the Christian Jews. So not really a proper Christian church. But it was a very productive one. It built many churches. Alexandria built many churches and built many buildings and colleges. But it was still a kind of antichrist, because it set itself up in opposition or to the Christian centre in Antioch. So this was part of what Paul is talking about here, the mystery of lawlessness. And he says that it had already begun its work, and as we've just said, it had. And it was there that Gnosticism, which was a union of paganism and Christianity, rose. And this particular religion, which got a firm hold very quickly at this time, was promoted by Simon Magus. And it denied that Christ was incarnate when he came here. And it also taught something that we see in some of the religions now, that humans are also gods. We've got that today, haven't we? In Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. And also in the Freemasons. And other false doctrines arose, such as the rejection of creation, The miracles of Christ were disbelieved, and they believed in the celibacy of believers. So if you think that that's only with the papacy, it was already in there because it was part of paganism. And the worship of the Son as the supreme dwelling place of God. Now, what a good way of getting over sun worship, isn't it? When you see the sun, that's where God has got his home. Now, some of the beliefs of these famous men in the Alexandra school. Justin Martyr. He was 100 to 165 AD. He held on to a lot of the pagan philosophies. And this would include the mystical interpretation of the scriptures. And we still see that today when you see the Da Vinci Code, where there are hidden things in the scriptures that only certain people can understand. And he was also the one that came out with the idea that there was a middle state between death. So when you died, you didn't go to hell or to heaven, there was a place that you went to in the middle. And of course, that eventually was adopted by the Roman Church 300 or 400 years later as the doctrine of purgatory. So it came in quite early. Then we have the Tertullian. He taught that the church had more authority than the Bible. And he also taught that the bread at the Lord's Supper was actually Christ. And he believed that baptism was for the forgiveness of sins. Now remember what we believe about baptism. It is to say that we are converted Christians. Your sins are already forgiven before you're baptized. But then this, of course, has been adopted by the papacy. You baptize children so that if they die, they can go to heaven because they've had their sins forgiven during baptism. And he also believed that Mary was the second Eve. And it was because Mary was such a wonderful person that she repaired the disobedience of Eve in the first place. A very confused doctrine, but do you notice who's coming up as being part of the saving, getting rid of the disobedience? It's Mary. And of course that again has been adopted by the present church. Oregon. He denied the infallibility of the scriptures, and he rejected all the earlier chapters as being literal history, and he also was one of the ones who accepted infant baptism, and he again also believed in purgatory. So he just continued some of the beliefs of those that went before. And he also believed that the souls of people, the word souls, because they all imagine it's something mystical apart from our bodies, had a pre-existence. You know, like all these people are going to be born, there's little jars with their souls in heaven, and then God pours the jar out and the soul comes down and the baby is born. So this is what some people believe. And they also believe that Jesus was a created being. And also believed that he was not eternal. Do we see that today? Jehovah's Witnesses are Mormons. Strange that their beliefs were so early on in it. Now this one doesn't deny which church he is going to belong to. Eusebius, some people may have heard of him. He was the one who devised the manuscripts from which much of our Bible is translated. And unfortunately, he brought a lot of errors into the ones that are actually used there. The Vaticanus Sinaiticus. And then the last one, just before the papacy took hold as the church leader, was Augustine. And this man actually was one that had most of the false doctrines and theology that was the formation of the Roman Church. He also brought out the doctrine of persecution, which eventually led to the Inquisition. Now, people believe that the Inquisition is not going to ever happen again. We're a civilized country and a civilized world. But the Pope that we had before this present Pope was in fact in the office of the Inquisition. The Inquisition in the Catholic Church has not gone. It's still there. And that's the one that resigned, you know, the one that resigned. I can't think of his name for the minute. I've got a blank there.
Benedict.
Pope Benedict, was it? Yeah. Okay, and what was his real name before he became Pope? Can't remember now. Yes, it's the point of getting old, isn't it? We all suddenly start losing our memories. So he actually brought in the Inquisition, which is still here today. And again, he encouraged infant baptism. And he was the one that came out with the idea that Mary did not commit sin. And he was the one who promoted the worship of Mary as to actually play a very important part in person's salvation. And he also believed in purgatory and the celibacy of the priests. And again, he also held the Bible, that he had more authority than the Bible. And he also, a very clever man really in many ways, he interpreted the early chapters of Genesis and taught that God preordained some for salvation and others for damnation. And we've seen that one is still with us even today. See how all these beliefs that crept into the church while the early church, the apostles were during some of them, are still with us today. And this prophecy, of course, is relevant as it carries on into our time. And then the last one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his coming. The coming of the last one, who is according to the works of Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deceptions among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now there's a good church gathering, isn't it, of all the leaders. This is Vatican II, 1962 to 1965. And the one thing that came out of this particular meeting is the fact that they made this decision that they were going to unite all the various churches. They were going to bring the Protestant denomination under the umbrella of Rome. They no longer called Protestants heretics. They call them now separated brethren. That's better. So we're separated brethren and sisters, by the way. All right. We're separated. We're not heretics anymore. And if you listen to any of the leaders, none of them seem to call the Pope the Antichrist anymore. We are one of the few churches that do. The one thing that is really worrying, as I mentioned this in our Sabbath school this morning, that the Lutheran have signed a joint declaration on justification with the Catholic Church. The Lutheran, Luther was the one who started off the Reformation. And one of the statements made by one of the leaders of the Lutheran Church is that the protest is now over. Because they've gave on justification by faith. So what we have to do very carefully, because it's very, the document that they sign is a very well written document. The Lutherans believe in justification by faith only. You cannot do anything. No works, nothing will justify you. The Catholic Church, on the other hand, believes that when you get converted, you're justified by faith. But if you want to stay justified, you have to go to Mass, You have to do confession. You have to do all the things that they class as being a method of working your way into heaven. So they believe in justification by works. But they still say it's justification by faith. And in to a certain respect it is, because initially it's faith. After that it becomes works. So the Lutherans and the Catholics do not actually agree in what has been agreed. And to make matters worse, in 2006, members of the World Methodist Council, meeting in Seoul, South Korea, voted unanimously to adopt the same document. So we now have the Methodists joining. And the heads of the Anglican and Catholic churches in the UK received a standing ovation at the Royal Albert Hall after praying for Christian unity and talking openly about the challenges of achieving it, which is nearer to home. And we all know who Justin Welby is, do we not, Justin Welby? He's the 105th Archbishop of Canterbury, which is the leader of the Anglican Church. And this is what he said: "The call of the Church is to repent of our divisions and seek unity in Christ so that the world may know Jesus." That's the Anglican leader. So we can see that the world is slowly moving, very quietly in the background, moving towards a one world church. And it will be under the authority of the Pope. Now the Pope sent a message by video. You can see it on YouTube. I can't remember the title of it. But in his message, he tries to explain how the churches are going to come back together. And he therefore uses the story of Joseph and his brothers. And how the brothers come to Joseph, and then everything, they bow down before him, remember. Everything's wonderful, they all get together, hugs and kisses, everything's wonderful, they're back as one family. Who's going to be Joseph? The Pope. And what are the other churches doing? They're coming to him. What are they going to do when they get there? They bow down before him and accept his authority, because Joseph was as good as the Pharaoh. So who's going to be in charge? And he's very open about this if you read and understand what he's saying. Who's going to be in charge of the unity? He is the Pope. And this Pope we have at this present time is getting the unity going. And it's the, and remember what Adam White says? The last steps will be fast. And as I said, we've only gone back to the beginning of 2000, and already churches are beginning to sign up to join again. And some of the charismatic ones have also done so, because there are now charismatic Catholic churches. So there is a unity that's coming in through the charismatic meeting. And of course then eventually we'll see the spiritualists join up. And what will happen to the things like the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and Islam, Hindus and Buddhists, we don't know, because but even they will come under his influence, we believe, afterwards. So it then says that we should worry about it, because it's when the lawless one is revealed, when all this has happened, and he's now putting himself where God is, as the leader and director of the church, then the end will come. Now, we should pray that that will be soon. Thank you.